We're back.
Hi, Daphne.
Hello, Mother.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a good day.
Yeah, I agree. I cleaned my bathroom. That's like a 3-year-long task, which is insane that it takes you that long to clean my bathroom. But it was kind of depressing because it's still not even totally clean. And when it was like halfway clean, it was like night and day. I just accumulate a lot of shit through like Ipsy and when I used to do FabFitFun, just accumulated a lot of junk that like, it's not junk, but you know what I mean? That like never got put away, that I just started stacking everything in my bathroom and then it just exploded and then it was all on my counters and I have a 2-sink bathroom and so one of my sinks is filled top to bottom with products. I was like, this is problematic.
It seemed problematic, yes.
I was like, okay, it's probably time to take care of this.
Not to mention the fact that we needed to like window seal your window because it was like 8 degrees in your bathroom. Like when I got up to use your bathroom last night, because your bathroom's more accessible sometimes, I had to put on my parka.
Yeah, had to put on the thickest parka you own.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it snowed and it's still snowing and it won't stop snowing. And I'm sick of the snowingness.
It's not even the snow. It's like freaking 6 degrees. Like,
yeah,
give me snow right now. At 30 degrees, fine. 6 degrees, fuck that shit.
I think fuck snow.
Okay, I like it if I don't have to go anywhere.
Exactly.
But it's but too then fucking cold.
It turns muddy and ugly.
That's true. When it's white and pretty, it's nice and clean and looks all majestic like a movie. And then life happens to snow and it gets all gross.
Life happens to snow.
That's funny.
Try not to do the breath thing. All right, what you got for me on your disturbing factoids?
Okay.
I'm concerned.
Yeah.
The face you just made at me before you even started talking. I was like, oh shit, this is going to be bad.
No, it's not bad. It's disturbing, but it's kind of like odd, I guess. So it's disturbing and odd as well. So in 1913, the United States Postal Service introduced what they call parcel posts.
And USPS.
USPS, yes. Not UPS, but the Postal Service.
Yes.
So before then, all packages that were sent by mail had to weigh 4 pounds or less, right?
Oh, shit.
So with the parcel post thing, people could ship anything below 50 pounds.
And pounds?
Pounds. Below 50 pounds. And right away, it had some unintended consequences where parents began sending their children through the mail.
What the fuck?
Yes.
I didn't see where that was going.
So the first known case of a mailed baby was in 1913, shortly after the parcel post thing happened.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Jesse Bogue of Glen Estee, Ohio, shipped their 10-pound infant son to his grandmother's home about a mile away. And they paid 15 cents in postage and they sprung for the $50 insurance just in case something bad happened.
Fuck. It's a mile away.
Uh-huh.
I can walk the baby.
Yeah, 15 cents though. Hey, why not?
So 15 cents or your baby.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So there were several stories like this. And the most infamous one, besides the first one, is that one child made the trip by railway mail car. So a 5-year-old Mary Pierstoff was sent from Grangeville to, this isn't even the most one, but anyway, okay, this is one of them. Sent from Grangeville to Lewiston, Idaho to visit her grandmother on February 19th of 1914. Mary was just under the weight limit at 48.5 pounds.
Fuck.
And her parents realized that it would be cheaper to send her by mail than to buy her a train ticket. They attached the postage, 53 cents in parcel post stamps, to May's coat, and she rode the train's mail compartment all the way to Lewiston. And then she was personally delivered to her grandmother's home by Leonard Machel, the mail clerk that was on duty.
So they just put the stamps on her jacket and then she just rode in the train with all of the mail.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, that's kind of awesome. Not gonna lie to you.
So then, you know,
I was thinking to myself while you're talking about all this,
is that you want to be shipped somewhere?
Oh, I was thinking, how uncomfortable would it be to be like sealed off in a box?
They didn't put them in a box. They just
Even the little baby that went for a mile?
No, they just put it.
They didn't
just
have put to it go, in like, into the system or anything?
No, it was 1913. They just gave the postman the 15 cents to take the baby to the grandmother's house, and he just put him in his mail bag and took him.
Oh my God. See, this is not where my brain was going.
Right. You're thinking that they had to be packed up in like little holes in the box and stuff yeah. so they can breathe.
Like they do to like chickens when you take them home from the pet store.
Right.
Or birds.
Or puppies or kittens or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of. I was like, fuck.
This is the one that I accidentally misspoke about earlier.
I'm sorry. I just like am thinking about the Grinch and like when he wraps Cindy Lou Who in all of the wrapping paper. I'm thinking like I would be genuinely concerned as a child being wrapped up. Going in the mail.
No. That's funny. That's not what happened. Although they did hand their children off to strangers. But I guess at the time, they probably knew their mail people. But now in this case of Etta Neff, she was 6 years old and she was sent 720 miles from Pensacola, Florida to Christiansburg, Virginia, where her father lived. And finally, in 1915, it was reported that the postmaster officially declared that children could no longer be sent through the mail. So for two years, children were sent through the mail. And while the, you know, it's like a weird thing, right? And it might be seem like incompetence or negligence on the part of the parents or some of the mail carriers. But it just kind of shows like how I was saying, like, you trust your mail guy because these rural communities, like, you know, your mailman. We know our mailman.
I know.
But anyway, yeah. So mail carriers were, quote unquote, trusted servants and they delivered babies and whatnot. Not actually delivered them, but took them from home to home.
Fuck.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
That's weird. That's weird to think about. And in my brain, I'm like, they had to wrap their child up.
No.
Like the 10-month-old, they just took post, or the 10-pound baby, not 10-month-old.
This is just a posed picture.
That's hilarious.
Right?
Yeah. That's so awesome.
And this is that little girl that went by rail car.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. That's funny.
Yeah.
Like, stuck it to her jacket.
53 cents.
The 10-pound baby, they stuck it to his forehead.
Probably. They just licked that stamp and just plunk right there.
It's perfectly accessible. You can see it. Because what happens if the little girl took off her jacket? And then they're like, you're not supposed to be here.
Well, she was already
and
then
her
on.
Parents were held liable for 53 cents instead of... delivering her to wherever she was headed.
Well, and they didn't say anything about that child being insured.
That's kind of hilarious.
It's very hilarious, but it's so fucking weird. And it's slightly disturbing or a lot disturbing, especially that it went on for 2 fucking years.
That after you would the first after one, they the, right. Did anyone die in this?
Well, no.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because that would have made news.
Well, no.
Well, no. No, they obviously were delivered not. Safely. I like okay. The one that went fucking 720 miles.
Right? To go to her dad's house. Yeah. That's so bad. That's so funny. Does my voice sound crazy?
No.
It sounds crazy in my head. It sounds like I'm sick in my head.
You are sick in the head. But it's a little like horse, maybe. I don't know. But my okay. voice has been doing the horse off and on thing for like
3 weeks. Same.
A long time. Too
yeah,
long.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, any hoodles. Oh, that was my chair. Sorry. Creaky chair. Squeaky chair. Also have snow boots on because we had a trek from the house to the shop where we record.
To the pod lab?
Yes. And I'm wearing my pajamas and snow boots.
I'm still wearing my pajamas, too. It's fine. Just clean today. Just it is what it is.
Exactly.
Let's take a shower and get fresh pajamas.
Yes. It'll be awesome. And then we'll watch the Gilmore Girls, or we'll play Mario Party, or we'll play Yahtzee.
God, I sound like such a loser.
It's fine. We're best friends.
We are. We're besties. I do love my mom way more than I love anyone else.
Yeah.
And I was meant to go on 2 dates with the same guy in this last week. And then I gave him a second chance. And it was like, fuck no.
That's nice.
Well, dude, I was supposed to go on a date with him tonight as well. And then it was like, nah, dog. We're not doing that.
Dog. Okay.
I was like, sorry, I have very important plans with my mom. Which was the card he pulled on me on Saturday.
Right. Last Saturday. He was with his mom. So whatevs.
Yeah. Whatevs.
Yeah.
Loser boys.
Yeah. I'm sorry that makes you sound like a loser.
It's fine. It is what it is. my life.
Hey, I think you're lucky to have a good relationship with your mom.
I think I am too.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
You could have a shit mom.
Yeah. Yeah. I could have a shit mom.
Yeah.
But instead, I have a great mom.
Thank you.
Now, let's move on to a bad dad.
So, like a bad Santa?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's roll on your case.
All right. So, today's
like case. Like roll on deodorant.
Yeah. Yeah. Like roll on deodorant. Exactly.
Let's roll on.
Or like a roll on stick of perfume.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's a better choice.
That's a way better option. Although deodorant is the only option, in case you were wondering.
Deodorant is also a recommended choice.
No, it's not a choice.
Some people don't use it, but I recommend it highly.
Yeah, I recommend that if you don't think you need it, you most likely do. So our case today is about Ernest Ingenito. Heard of him?
Nope.
Thank goodness. He was born May 27, 1924 in Wildwood, New Jersey. And his parents were Ernest Sr. and Helen. And so for the sake of the case, we're going to be referring to him as Ernie because that's how most people knew him.
Okay.
So he was the oldest of three and his family was all Italian. They were all, I think his parents were both immigrants from
Italy.
From Italy. So he was back and forth between New Jersey and Philly. I think his parents split was what had happened and why he was back and forth, but it didn't really do much like elaborating on that.
Was he shipped through the mail? Oh, no, I guess not if he was born in 1924.
I know that. Well, this is.
Not going to laugh.
Yeah, no, he wasn't shipped through the mail since this was 1920s, but I do have. Like later that his parents were separated when he was 13, but this was like earlier life that he was back and forth. So maybe they split up earlier and it just like wasn't reported until he was 13.
Okay.
I'm not really sure what happened there, but he was first arrested at the age of 10 for stealing.
Wow.
And I'm not sure what he stole. But then when he was 13, his parents were separated and then he wound back up in New Jersey at this point. So he was with, I think it was his mom. So then he was sent to reformatory schools at the age of 14. And he'd like consistently be in and out of these schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until he was paroled a few years later and then was returned to live with his mom.
Okay.
And he was 17 when he eloped with his first wife.
Oh, geez.
I know. Fuck. That poor choice.
Right.
I was 16-year-old Doris Breslin.
Well, and I was thinking, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm going to. Like, how the reform school thing, like, that's not like a big thing right now, like in this day and age. But we've had a couple cases.
It is because I know someone who got sent to reform school.
Well, okay, but I mean, like...
You were sent to reform school.
No, I went to boarding schools.
For bad kids.
Whatever. That's because my mom was horrible.
Yeah, well, I don't knock you for having to go because of all the stories I've heard.
Anyway.
However, you were in reform school.
Yeah, and I flourished and did wonderfully, so never mind. Back to Ernie. And Doris.
Ernie and Doris. She was 16 and like very shortly after they eloped, she got pregnant and the two had a daughter and she was named Dorothy.
Aww.
I think that's such a cute name.
It's such a cute name.
So during their marriage, it was reported that Ernie was very abusive towards Doris.
Jeez.
And at 19, he was drafted to serve in the army and he was stationed in Fort Belvoir. In Virginia during World War II.
Okay.
He was dishonorably discharged.
Go figure.
Just can't speak English. Dishonorably discharged in 1946 after he was court-martialed twice. So the first time was because he went totally AWOL and left without permission after hearing that Doris was living with another man.
Oh, well. Okay.
And then the second time, he struck two superior officers, which then landed him... an 8-year sentence at the Greenhaven Correctional Facility in Sing Sing, which is a military prison, which then he served 2 of his 8 years.
Wow. Only 2?
2 of his 8 years.
Okay.
So I'm not sure when, but he and Doris got divorced, as you could imagine.
Yeah, I'm like, sounds like Doris was getting smart.
Yeah, right. As you could guess, she left and he left. So after he was released from prison, he and his second wife, who was 21-year-old Teresa Mazzoli, they got married in 1946. And she was also called Tessie. So for the sake, we're going to call her Tessie.
Okay. So he was what, like 22?
Yes. Okay. 1946. Yes, he was 22.
Okay.
So she was the daughter of Michael and Pearl Mazzoli, who owned a truck farm in Piney Hollow Road in Franklin Township, Gloucester.
What's a truck farm?
I don't know. It's just what it said.
I didn't really do much. The fuck?
I didn't really do much digging into what a truck farm was.
I feel like you should have. At least looked it up.
I feel like I also should have looked it up, but I got so rabbit-holed in this case, I was like, we can just guess whatever. They grow toy trucks, they grow big trucks, they grow baby dick trucks. Like, they do it all there.
All right.
This was in Gloucester?
Sure. We're How stuck on that Gloucester? Fucking word, not the truck farm.
County in New Jersey, so he's still in New Jersey.
Okay.
They're in New Jersey. Yes, no truck farms today. So Tessie convinced Ernie to move in with her family, and the young couple, they like initially appeared to have a happy marriage.
I would think if you're living with the family at the truck farm, you would want to be on your best behavior.
Yeah, right. So he worked on the farm for his in-laws. And the truck farm. I don't know. You want to pause it?
And I'll look up. I so what badly want to pause it.
So we just took a brief intermission to pause it. It says a truck farm is a farm devoted to the production of vegetables for the market.
Okay.
So not as fun as what you thought it was going to be.
So they just they grow vegetables to fill trucks.
Correct. Or it's a whimsical, musically narrated documentary film about urban agriculture.
Alrighty. So either way, they're not farming
From
trucks.
2011.
Thank you, because I was really just...
You were stuck on it.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And now I'm not that thrilled about the answer. But okay. At least we have one.
Yeah, at least we have an answer.
Yes.
I wonder if they sold it to Joseph Force Crater's family store.
Yeah, not that far away.
It's not that far away. Actually, at all.
Just produce market.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Back on track.
Always finding ways to connect the dots. So the couple had two sons. And even if we can't connect the dots, we make them connect.
I don't actually connect, but we're going to force the connection.
Yeah. So just so you're aware, Ernie, his in-laws, they all sold vegetables to the produce market that the Craters owned from last case.
Which may or may not be a fact.
But we're going to say it is for the sake of connecting the dots. For the sake of dot connection.
Oh my God.
Dots and boxes.
Dots and boxes. Oh, I love that game.
Or is it lines and boxes?
I don't know.
Or is it dots and lines?
I don't think we need to pause for
and
that.
And then you make boxes. Okay. So they had two sons. Who Fuck. One was Ernie Babe in Janito. So they called him Babe.
Okay.
And then the other was Michael. Ernie had like reportedly loved his father-in-law, Michael, but wasn't much of a fan of his mother-in-law, Pearl.
Okay.
So at some point he ended up taking a job at a local appliance store, which like put a major strain on their marriage because obviously
he's not helping with the truck farm.
Yeah. He's not watering the trucks so they grow into big trucks anymore.
I want it to be that.
The little baby trucks so they grow into big, strong trucks.
I want it to be that.
And if you give them a little extra water, they're big old baby dick trucks. I should not be saying this shit.
You should not, but you are, and here we are.
Right. No shame to anyone who drives one. I, too, as a female, have a baby dick and drive a large truck.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I want to hear about Ernie.
Okay. So this was 2 years after the marriage. After they got married.
Right, because they've had two kids by this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Michael, he started to believe that Ernie was seeing other women, several of them, probably more than one.
Wow.
So he threw Ernie out of the home.
Oof.
Yeah. So he moved a few miles away and he lived with Al and Kay Rulis, who were friends of his father's.
Okay.
And so Teresa, she was moving towards filing for divorce. I'm sorry, Tessie. I said we call her Tessie. Mm-hmm. She was moving towards filing for divorce from him. So Ernie sought out help from lawyers to be able to see his sons as well.
Okay.
So while the divorce was taking place and he's speaking to all these lawyers, he decided to take up a new hobby. And he started target shooting and began buying guns and ammunition for his growing collection.
Wow.
So do you see where this is going?
I do see where this may be headed.
So on November 17th of 1950, he was 25. He armed himself with a Luger, a Mauser. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
C96.
Okay.
And a .32 caliber rifle.
A .32 caliber rifle.
.32. .32 caliber. Well, what would it be if you took away the fucking .32?
I don't fucking know.
.32? That's giant. I prefer to say decimal 3-2.
Okay. It's 1/32 of a rifle.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And he drove to the Mazzoli home. So he went to the home with the intention of visiting his son's.
I bet he did.
So around 8:45 p.m., he had a pistol in each pocket when he entered the home. And Tessie, she was watching TV at this time. And he said, "Do you still love me?" And she didn't respond. And then he demanded to see his kids, which then she responded this time and said that he can't because he didn't have his court order to visit the children.
Ooh.
Which then at this point, Michael had entered the room to intervene, like when he heard what was happening, right?
So her dad.
Her dad, Michael.
Because yes. Their son is also named Michael.
Yes, but okay. Michael, her father.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's a lot of Ernie's, a lot of Michael's here. There's a lot of repeating names in this case.
Okay.
A lot of juniors, seniors, sophomores, freshmen. God, I'm funny as fuck. Okay. So at this point, little Ernie and little Michael, babe and little Michael.
Gotcha.
We'll call him Mikey. I don't know if that's what he went by, but we'll call him Mikey.
Okay.
We're 1 and 3 at this time.
Okay.
They were little babies. So then Ernie said, "Well, if you don't want me to see the kids, here's what you're going to get," as he began shooting.
Oh, shit.
So he aimed for Tessie and missed, but he hit Michael in the head.
Oh, fuck.
And in the abdomen.
Oh, fuck.
So Michael, he was 50 when he hit the ground dead.
I'm like, how old was he when he got back up?
Well, he would have celebrated his 51st birthday on Thanksgiving.
And this was?
Shortly after November 17th.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah.
So Ernie did end up eventually hitting Tessie twice when she was headed towards their adjacent dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to go get her children. She was headed in that direction, which baby Ernie was in a crib. Mm-hmm. Ernie, babe. Whatever.
Right.
And Michael was in the bathroom, I guess, just like screaming and cowering.
Isn't Michael the littler one?
No, Ernie's the littler one.
Okay.
Michael's the older one.
Okay.
So she survived with him shooting her both in the stomach and in the shoulder.
God, what a dick.
Except for he thought that she was dead.
It's probably good because then that made him stop shooting.
Yeah.
Right.
So then he left. And when he left, she was able to get back up and call the police.
Good.
Yeah. And then he proceeded to find Pearl, who was 41 at the time.
Ugh.
But she was gone. She took off as soon as she heard the shooting start.
That was smart.
Yeah. So remember how I said earlier that Ernie didn't like Pearl?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently it was mutual.
Okay.
And like she tried to hide it for the sake of Tessie.
Mm-hmm.
But she thought that she had made a mistake for picking Ernie as her husband.
Well, clearly, which, she did.
Yeah, right. Patricia A. Martinelli said this in her 2010 book, Rain of Bullets, which is about the case.
Mm-hmm.
So Patricia said that one of the main reasons I wanted to write this book is because this type of domestic violence is still so common, not just in South Jersey, but throughout the United States.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I would say worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide, it's pretty common.
Yeah.
Killing your in-laws.
Unfortunately. And your spouse.
Yeah. So this is a fucking crazy fact about this. She was related to the Mazzoli family.
What was her last name?
Martinelli.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So Pearl, she thought that he was lazy, didn't treat her or the family how any of them deserved to be treated. And she thought that he was dishonest. And the rumors about his abuse and seeing other women behind Tessie's back, obviously then really fucking lit a fire under her butt and hating him.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I could understand that. That's like this kid I was supposed to see. You hate him.
I do.
Well, I guess you don't. I guess you're not a very good mom. If you don't hate him after he ditched me twice. Well, not really. He like texted me in the mornings of that we were supposed to meet. It was like, hey, I can't be there.
Yeah.
Just a douchebag.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything because what if you end up like marrying him or something.
Or if he listens to this.
I just want to give him a chance.
Okay. Well, that's nice of you.
You're like, well, I'm not, so we're good.
Yeah, right, basically. So when Pearl took off, she went to her parents' house, which was across the street, right? And began screaming that Ernie had guns. And at her parents' home were her mom, Teresa, mm-hmm. who is 67, her father, Armando Piopi, who I don't know his age, her brothers, 46-year-old John, 31-year-old Gino, Gino's pregnant wife, Marianne, and she was 28, and their three children, Jeannie, who was 9, the small Armando, who was 7, and then little baby Teresa, who was 13 months. So Ernie started shooting at the Piopi house.
Fucker.
Which he first killed Teresa Piopi, who was in the doorway. The
67-year-old mom. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Then he stepped over her body.
Fuck.
To go shoot pregnant Marianne.
What a douche.
Yeah. And then he got to Pearl, who tried to hide in the closet. Ugh. So Pearl, she was shot in the right eye, the chin, and the abdomen.
Jeez.
And she died an hour and a half after she was taken to the hospital. And he bragged that he had put her full of holes.
Doesn't anyone have a gun that they can shoot him?
Right, you would think.
Right.
So he killed all three women here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he gunned down John, her brother, mm-hmm. Pearl's brother, who was outside trying to take Ernie down with a knife. To which I say, never bring a knife to a gunfight.
No shit. That's solid advice.
Right. And he also shot 9-year-old Jeannie, who survived.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So the entirety of this attack between both houses, which were right across the street from one another.
Mm-hmm.
So this entire attack between both households only lasted about 15 minutes. So it was pretty speedy.
Yeah, no kidding.
So then he drove 4 miles down the road to Minnetola, where Tessie's uncle, Frank Mazzoli, lived.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
He's going to take out the whole fucking family because he's a dick?
So when he went there, he screamed, I cleaned out the rest of the family. I came here to get you. So you literally just said it.
What a dick.
You stole the words right out of his mouth.
I'm sorry. But like, what the fuck? You're the dickhead here.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the giant douchebag.
Right. And And you're going to kill everybody else because you're an asshole.
Basically.
Yeah. Sounds a little Mussolini, Stalin, Hitler, Genghis Khan.
Yeah. All of them.
Yeah.
All of the bad people in this world.
Right. I'm an asshole, so you all have to die.
Yeah. So he shot Frank, her uncle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tessie's uncle. And Hilda, his wife, who was 44, in front of their two children, which they survived, but were critically wounded and were able to flee with their two children. So I guess he had seen the children and then he stopped his attack.
Well, but he shot a fucking 9-year-old at the other house.
Yeah, I had a note about this right here, actually, this next line, that he never went after any of the children.
That was just like accidental.
Yeah, she was just hit by rogue bullets.
Ugh. Okay, that makes it better.
Okay. Fuck. Right? Jeez, this guy.
Yeah.
This Ernie. I know a great Ernie. My tattoo artist is a great Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad Ernie.
This is a bad Ernie.
Very bad Ernie.
Yeah. Bad, bad Ernie.
Naughty, naughty. So New Jersey state troopers were eventually able to catch up with Ernie. This was either moments later or 5 hours later.
Okay.
I saw both.
So long moments.
Yeah. Yeah, long moments. Long moments if it was 5 hours later. Yes. Well, see, I saw that it was like pretty immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also saw that it was 5 hours. I also saw that he was apprehended at 12:45 a.m. the next morning.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure which one is the correct statement.
I love it.
And I didn't buy the book, which I'll explain later after the reviews came out about it.
Okay.
So he was got, right? Got.
He was got. He was apprehended.
He was captured. So he was in his green 1942 Ford sedan, and they forced him off the road after a 2-mile chase,
mm-hmm.
which this was a 2,000 police manhunt.
Jeez.
Yeah.
2,000?
2,000 of them.
That's fucking crazy.
So he sliced his wrist with the top of a tin can.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope he got tetanus.
Right? I hope you don't have a tetanus shot. Right? Ernie. He held his hands in the air and said, I'm the one you want.
Well, duh. There's fucking 2,000 cops chasing you. I think they know who they're after.
Right? Basically.
It's me. It's me. You caught me.
Right? It's a Taylor Swift song. It's yeah. me. I'm the problem. It's me.
I almost did, but then I didn't. So, but you did. So that's cool.
But I did. Great minds think alike. You just did it. So troopers found 4 guns and 166 live bullet cartridges in his clothing.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I guess maybe he only went in with the 3 guns and had a 4th one in his car.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then he said, I done it. And that's all there is to it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Right? I done it.
I done it. It was me.
Right?
Fuck. I'm the problem. It's me.
Yeah, clearly it's him that's the problem.
Right? Nobody else went to him and shot him up.
No.
Especially after the accusations of him cheating and being abusive.
Yeah, they should.
Pearl and Michael weren't like, hey, let me take him out.
Right.
Save Tessie some heartache.
Yeah. They were just like, get out, be gone.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, fuck you. I'm going to kill you all.
Right.
What a dick.
Yeah, stupid douchebag. So the death toll was 5, with him killing Tessie's parents, Michael and Pearl, Tessie's grandma, Teresa, her pregnant aunt, Marianne, and her uncle, John.
That's so terrible.
Yeah.
She must feel terrible.
Oh, I'm sure she does.
Like, she married this fucker and brought him into their house.
Yeah, but you can't victim blame on that front.
She I'm not thought, victim blaming.
Although, however, I know you're not victim blaming.
I said but I'm she just must saying, feel terrible.
I know you're not victim blaming, but I'm saying, like, we can't. I mean, she should have seen the red flags. He was just out of prison when they got married.
Yeah, but you know.
Military prison.
Yeah, he probably, like,
lied to her. She probably had no idea.
Well, maybe. Or maybe he was like, I've changed.
Yeah, because that's always gospel.
Right. I've changed. I'm a better man.
So their services were held at the Roan Funeral Chapel. They were all in silver-lined metal caskets and had rosary beads entwined in their hands.
Aw, rosary beads, not beans.
What did I say?
You said rosary beads.
Did I really?
You did.
Fuck. Rosary beans.
Or beads.
I'm just making fun of myself now. So Pearl, she had on an aqua gown. Marion had a light blue dress on. Teresa had an orchid gown on. And both Michael and John were dressed in a blue serge, which I just thought these were cool facts that I
found.
What's
a serge?
Probably like a suit.
Okay.
Probably like a suit. I would have to guess.
There are too many unknowns in this story.
I'm sorry. A truck farm, a serge. I was already rabbit holing at some of this shit.
No, you're fine.
And then I was like, okay, there's some things I can just not afford to rabbit hole if we're ever going to record ever again.
Yeah, I have been after her for like days. Like, hey, are you ready? Hey, are you ready? Hey, are you ready? Because now we have to record and I have to edit and get it out tomorrow. So,
yeah. Yeah. So you're actually hearing this one quite fresh. By the time it's live tomorrow, we will have been doing this yesterday. So he had injured Tessie, Jeannie, Frank, and Hilda, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking his counts here.
Yes.
So although he confessed to the killings during his questioning, he wouldn't sign a statement that admitted to his guilt.
Okay, even though he said he done it?
Yeah.
I done it. It's me.
Right? It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. I don't know why I keep doing that. I just love that song.
It's fair.
And it's a very Taylor Swift moment of Ernie.
Okay.
So after a failed attempt to commit suicide, Ernie told the judge that at his arraignment that he didn't want to talk further.
Okay.
So apparently this whole thing is on his terms.
Well, yeah, clearly he's a douchebag. So
I read that he tried to commit suicide after in custody and while he was on the run from the police, which I think that was the whole tin can incident.
Right. Fuck.
He's like, oh no.
Just grab whatever's handy. I have a tin can slice.
Yeah. So he was tried for the murder of his mother-in-law.
Okay.
In January of 1951. For whatever reason, they dropped the 4 counts of assault and were only trying him for Pearl's death at this time.
Why?
I don't know why.
Because the others are not assault. They're fucking also murder.
No, I'm talking about Tessie, Jeannie, Frank, and Hilda.
The ones who just got shot and not killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yes. this is just horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So I think that he tried to plead insanity here. I'm not totally sure, but there's another trial.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that in the other trial.
Okay.
So if he was convicted of the murder of his mother-in-law, first degree murder of his mother-in-law, mm-hmm. he would have been sentenced to death in the electric chair.
Okay.
So, of course, his lawyer, who was Frank Saul, tried to argue against this, of course.
Being right. Well, that's his job.
Yeah. So he tried to argue that he had had a sad childhood.
Too fucking bad.
And sustained a head injury from falling out of a tree to guilt the jury.
Right.
Which, concussion maybe?
Maybe.
Out of the tree.
Which, you know, we all know how that turns out.
Yeah, right. We've heard about it time and time again. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know that we've ever necessarily talked about it here. But, like, if you're here and you're listening, I'm assuming we're not the first and only true crime thing you've ever heard before in your life. So, you know, concussions, head injuries, murder.
Right.
Although, no, we have, because we talked about it in the Lawson family murders when he accidentally hit his head with an axe.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
How you accidentally hit yourself in the head with an axe, I don't know, but oops, apparently it happens.
I guess.
And his lawyer also tried to place the blame on Pearl's abrasive personality.
Oh, my God. Just because whatever.
Just because she hated him doesn't mean she deserved to die.
No.
Fuck, I know. Also, I just want to say I love the name Pearl.
I love the name Pearl, too.
I think it's beautiful.
I love that name as well.
So when Ernie took the stand, he told the jury that he was there to see his kids and only brought the gun to scare Tessie and her family.
Okay.
But he snapped when Pearl said to kick him out.
But wait, Pearl wasn't there.
She was initially there, remember? And then she ran to her mom's house across the street.
Oh, but I didn't know she said to kick him out.
Yeah. So apparently no, I didn't say it.
Oh, okay.
Good. Because apparently that's what he heard.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Apparently, right? Allegedly, according to him, this is what happened.
Right. But still doesn't make it okay.
No, it doesn't. Obviously not. So he said after he snapped, he doesn't remember anything.
Of course not.
Right. Of course.
A fit of rage.
Yeah. Saw red.
Ugh.
From all the blood that he splattered.
Spilling.
Yeah.
Douche.
So Frank, his lawyer, he also cried during his closing arguments.
Oh my God, he's good.
Yeah, he's a good lawyer. He told the jury that if they found him guilty, that each and every single one of those people on the jury would be personally held responsible and feel the guilt for the fact that they were sending him to his early and untimely death.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Right. But that's a good lawyer.
That is a good lawyer because, yeah, I wouldn't want that on my head.
But luckily for the jury, they're not stupid.
Okay.
So they did find him guilty of first degree murder, mm-hmm. but they decided on making him suffer, giving him mercy, if you will, mm-hmm. for his consequences instead of giving him the chair. So he got life in prison.
I like that better.
I do, too. You have to sit there and think about what you did.
Yeah. And hopefully someone fucks with you a lot.
Yeah, hopefully.
Or more than one person fucks with you a lot.
Yeah, a lot, a lot, a lot.
Yeah.
He went to trial again, right? Mm-hmm. In 1956 for the other murders.
Okay.
Which then 4 more life sentences were added to be served concurrently.
So wait, the first trial was in 1951. So it's 5 years later.
5 years later.
Wow.
They sent him back.
Well, I guess they're already still there. So.
I guess they still had dropped the charges, though, of the 4 people that he shot and didn't kill.
Right.
So.
And he's in prison.
Yeah. So they took him back for the other 4
murders. So there's no rush, though.
Yeah,
apparently. It wasn't like he was going to get away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this one, he definitely tried to plead insanity. Mm-hmm. That's what I was talking about earlier. I don't know if in the first one he tried to plead insanity, mm-hmm. but in this one he did. But then later his legal counsel changed it to no contest.
Okay. So he pled guilty, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was denied parole in June of 1967.
Good.
However, at the time, New Jersey didn't have a life sentence without the possibility of parole. So he was released in 1974.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Fucking
after
insane.
After he kills 5 fucking people and injures 4 more.
Yeah.
He gets fucking released.
Right.
Okay.
So in 1974, he had moved back to Trenton, New Jersey. Or not back. I don't believe he ever lived in Trenton.
Okay.
To Trenton, where he worked for Trap Rock Industries, I guess.
I'm guessing he didn't change.
Well, I do have a trigger warning coming up here for child sexual assault.
Ugh. Okay.
So he remained quiet until 1994.
Whoa.
Yeah, 20 years later.
Yeah. I bet he wasn't. I bet he just didn't get caught.
So at the age of 70, he was back in court under charges of sexual assault against his girlfriend's 15-year-old daughter.
Oh, my God.
Which went on for 7 years, beginning when she was 8.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's 70 and his girlfriend has a 15-year-old?
I guess she must be younger.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Or she had the baby. Well, I guess, yeah, either way, younger than him.
Yeah, what? Wow, though.
Yeah. Isn't that just horrible?
It's terrible. So, and you know he fucked up before that.
So he threatened his girlfriend and her daughter, saying that he would kill them if they told.
Of course.
And even went as far as to show the daughter his section in the crime encyclopedia book, Blood Letters and Bad Men.
Oh, fuck.
To, like, threaten them.
Yeah. Like, this is what I'm capable of.
Yeah. But the daughter, she eventually found the courage to report him.
Good.
Yeah. No kidding, right? Well, obviously, because I said he stayed quiet until then. So. Right. He was then sentenced to 223 years for 29 counts of sexual assault.
Good.
Yeah. So he's going to be in there for the rest of his life.
Good.
Which, unfortunately, for everyone who wanted to see justice out of him, only lasted another year in prison.
Oh.
Because he died October 7th, 1995 at 71 of heart failure while in custody. Well, while in prison. I guess not custody, but prison.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like that he was out for 20 years. That's not cool.
No, I don't like it either. Because then he had 20 years to fuck around and do whatever he wanted to. Like, I don't know, raping kids.
Well, and
it's fucked up.
You know he wasn't quiet for 20 fucking years.
Nobody stayed quiet.
He just didn't get caught.
He stayed quiet for nothing to happen, for him not to get caught.
Right. Doesn't mean he wasn't doing anything. Just means he wasn't getting caught.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Such bullshit.
Yeah.
So Tessie, she passed away April 16th of 2013 at 84 years old. And I tried to find out more about what happened to her and, like, the family and, like, what life was next for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't find anything, which this is kind of what led me not to get the book and listen to it when I was rabbit holing so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Was because I was looking up stuff and looking up, like, trying to find, when I was trying to find out what had happened after the fact. Like, what did she go on to do with her life? Like, did she have any other children? Blah, 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 whatever.
Did she get married again?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Tried to figure out what happened with her life.
Mm-hmm.
It came back to a bunch of reviews of the Rain of Bullets book,
mm-hmm.
which, mind you know, the woman who wrote the book is her family.
Right.
A lot of the reviews said that there was, like, no follow-up on any of the family in the book. It was all just about Ernie and, like, his, not necessarily point of view, but, like, his words and his actions and the right. things he had done.
His story, not the victims.
Not necessarily, though, like, his story. Like, it wasn't any sympathy shown for him in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It was just basically about what happened.
Right. Okay.
But then also it talked about, like, the sexual assault and all that, too.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah. And then their son, Ernie, died at the age of 73 last year in 2022.
Huh.
Yeah. Which, that's sad, but mm-hmm. he lived a good long life after that.
He did live a good
long life. I'm assuming Michael's...
What about
Michael's,
the first wife and Dorothy? What about Doris and Dorothy?
I have no idea what happened to them. There was nothing about them.
I hate that. But that's probably good. They just went on about their lives and were like, thank God we got out of that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, because you know they had to have heard about it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure when someone is abusive to you, you keep tabs on them as much, or, like, to the best of your ability, you keep tabs on them for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I got for you today.
I like it. I mean,
morbidly speaking.
Yeah, I don't like it, but it was a good one and I never heard of it before.
It's fascinating, that's for sure.
Yeah. And it's like one of those spree killings, I guess.
Yeah.
Because everything just happened in such a short amount of time.
So I would have been curious to have read the book,
mm-hmm.
The Rain of Bullets. I just, after seeing that there was, like, no follow-up and that this woman was related to Tessie,
mm-hmm.
like, kind of gave me a little bit of, like...
Pause.
Yeah, not wanting to do it.
But maybe Tessie didn't want it. Maybe she's like, I'm just gonna, like, I don't want you to tell my story.
Yeah.
You know?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think it's good that the book is out there, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always.
Because some people don't care about what happened to the victims after the fact.
Right. Unlike us, that probably spends so much time. Oh, my gosh. So that's what time.
Took me. There's a couple things that took me so long with this.
And it wasn't the truck farm.
It wasn't the truck farm or the search. actually that information, some of the last information I found out, I found a newspaper clipping about the funeral service. Mm-hmm. So that's when I included that because I don't ever see things like that. And I just thought it was a kind mention.
Yeah, it is. It was. It's nice. I like looking at like newspaper archives and court records and whatnot.
I agree. I think they're cool.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's the one thing I didn't look up, though, was the court. I saw them, but I didn't dig into them. Mm-hmm. The court records, mm-hmm. because they were kind of pissed off after like I read some of like the proceedings that happened. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to read through this. And like, you know, mm-hmm. we know the charges already.
Right. And we know that his lawyer cried. And,
you know, I was also trying to keep this a little tapered in.
Okay.
As opposed to not tapered in.
Gotcha.
As opposed to rabbit holing.
Gotcha.
But yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't trying to like be lazy about it. I was just trying to.
Well, clearly, because for days you've been like, ah.
Yeah, no, I definitely spend a lot of time digging in places where like I have no business digging in.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Much appreciated.
Of course.
Yes. You want to tell people where they can find us?
You can find us on Instagram at That's Disturbing Podcast. No one wanted to send us a case request form, so the website is down. I still own the domain though, so if we ever decide to bring it back, we can.
Okay.
It's just currently down. And our Gmail, if you feel so inclined to send us a case request form, which you could also send us on Instagram as a DM, mm-hmm. or comment it on one of our posts, whatever floats you fancy. But anyway, our Gmail is thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com. And we now have a YouTube that's live.
Yay.
So if you're listening on anywhere, we would love it if you could subscribe. We want to get big and blow up and be like, oh my God, we're famous. We have a podcast. Hire Flip.
Yeah, no, that's not what we want.
We were talking about today. We're like, next year, we're going to be invited to CrimeCon.
To CrimeCon. Yeah.
We're going to be there by invitation.
Yeah, not just by getting tickets.
Not just by showing up and being like, here's a sticker to my podcast. She's showing some support.
All right.
Well, that's all I got for you. And happy belated Thanksgiving, everyone.
Bye-bye.